Hello, this is Richard Davis, welcoming you to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not-so-old. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be hearing about the finals of the biennial poetry competition run by Brighton and Hove Arts Council. We'll also be finding out about a local organisation which goes by the name of the Brighton and Hove Real Junk Food Project, and hearing about a special scheme that the National Lottery have introduced in celebration of their 25th birthday. It gives grants of up to £1,000 to promote the local community. But you have to get your application in very quickly, because the closing date is on Friday, December the 6th. In amongst all that, there'll be some music. As usual, we'll be giving out various telephone numbers, email addresses and website addresses during the course of the programme. So you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. So let's get started by hearing about the Brighton and Hove Arts Council's poetry competition. You may remember that a few weeks ago we interviewed John Hurd from the Brighton and Hove Arts Council to find out about the poetry competition, and at that stage entries had just opened. Well, the competition's now finished, and the results were given out and prizes awarded at a poetry festival, which the Arts Council were also running at the Old Market, on Sunday, November the 24th. We were there to record the event and to talk to some of the winners. And we're now going to present a short resume of what went on. It all started when Kevin Rance of the Brighton and Hove Arts Council came onto the stage to compare the occasion and explain what was going to happen.
The competition ran from the end of July to October, 600 entries. There were two strands to the competition, the student section and the main section. We're going to start with the student section. There were three winners of that. An outright winner of the students' competition, with a wonderful name of Grace Tower. Grace, if I can ask you to come to the stage to read your work.
It's really cool to be here. This poem's called Hylas is Vanishing, and it's about the painter Waterhouse's painting, Hylas and the Nymphs, and Hylas is an Argonaut, and he goes to the river, and the nymphs take him under, and he doesn't come back up again. So that's what this one's about. They rose up like bubbles breathed by the moon and began treading water, although did not seem to see me as our boat breached the mist and cut free their tangled lilies. Four fingers touched Hylas's arm, the lines of her breast shuddered. The yellow flower in her hair like a conch was a listening device. Wrapped by her blue irises, he went under. She pulled him, motionless, until the soles of his feet disappeared. Then I saw what he had seen, the purple light on the lilies, the swept cream of her eyes, her alabaster limbs, the marigold in bloom. Water became the cloth of my garments, for she sung so unerringly that it curdled my thoughts, and I sunk to where I could know hers. I woke alone and bare on the wood of the rocking vessel. There was no sign of Hylas, except his blue robe suspended, and Mesalanthe over there, face down like a sleeve.
Well, after Grace had been presented with her prize, Kevin moved on to the main section of the competition, for which, as you gather, there were several hundred entries. Out of those several hundred, the list had been reduced to just seven, all of whom were prize winners, although at this stage in the competition they didn't know in which order they were placed. I'm not going to play all the seven poems because of lack of time, and some of them were quite long. So we'll start with number four. This is a poem by one of the older competitors, Nicky Batten, and it's called The Rookery, Streatham.
I sit on a wooden seat where you never sat, but where you will always be now, your name proudly etched scored deeply into seasoned wood, scored deeply in my heart since 1967, since I last touched you. You loved that place, I loved that person. You love this person, I love this place. We trod flagstones together, crossed the babbling rivulet, spanned the chasm of generations, shared one another. I sit here in your place, scanning landscapes you loved, showing the man beside me, unknown to you, the joys you shared with me. He has only pictures, places, and my heart full of memories to know you. Did we watch tadpoles wriggle, smell heavy-scented primulas, as we trudged uphill to catch a bus licking sun-warmed cornets? You bowing my ears to catch each phrase of shared time. Come, beat me playing tiddlywinks. Suck bitter lemons, let the sherbet popple our tongues while I touch the almost soft whiteness of your hair. Tuck me into your bolster-puffed bed. Wrap me in cotton wool safety and I will bring you scuttles of coal as you press thuttony bits in my palm. And when the 37 bus hoots outside, we will clasp our memories together, relive adventures, secrets never to be told, of flesh-coloured corsets drying on the bath, sardine and tomato fish paste, china dogs and hospital beds, a shared nakedness of loving.
Nikki Batten reading her poem The Rookery Streatham, which came fourth in the competition. Now, as I said earlier, the poems varied in length greatly. Some of them were quite long. But the third place was awarded to a poem which was a mere 22 seconds in length. It was written by Louise Winters, and it's called East Croydon Connection.
Wind and thunder, approaching train. I shrink. Flattened to railings, caught, despite the platform width. My bag twitches and I whirl to look. Two eyes, smiling to mine, hold the briefest of squeezes.
Thank you. Louise Winters with her poem East Croydon Connection, which came third in the competition. In second place in the competition was a poem written by Nikki Strange, entitled First One Gone.
1 December, our grief took us out in search of a barren landscape. Our car slid on ice into deep snow and came to rest. Swaddled, still. Then engine coughing, straining, seeking traction against futile revolutions, fruitless cycles. Finally, we were shifted by the forward momentum gifted from others passing by, their shoulders pressed to the cold metal as if armoured for battle. This takes more than the two of us. This takes more than the two of us.
Nikki Strange reading her poem First One Gone, which came second in the competition. I managed to get a few words with Nikki, and I began by asking her how long she'd been writing poems.
On and off, since I was a kid, but really more off than on. You know, there's often big gaps between times. But a couple of years ago I did a poetry course at the Writer's Place.
Yes.
And that really inspired me to start writing again. And actually the poem that I'm reading today is one of the poems that I wrote while I was doing that course. So I have that course to thank.
Right. And have you ever won a prize for your poetry before?
Not since school. I think I won a book token or something. So, no, this is very much a kind of new experience and a very lovely one.
So you haven't been in for this competition before?
No. I just entered it on a whim, really. So it's a wonderful surprise to have been selected.
If you don't mind me saying, your mature years. And so obviously you're having a fresh burst of life.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not too mature, thank you very much.
Less than me, I expect.
Yes, but it's always been there in the background. But I think certainly being selected has encouraged me to kind of put a bit more time and prioritise it a bit more, you know, because life can get in the way.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't do the things that you really want to do or should do.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Congratulations on
winning the prize. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Nikki Strange, whose poem First One Gone came second in the Brighton and Hove Arts Council's biennial poetry competition. The competition was won by a poem written by 25-year-old Jess Butcher. It was called Swipe Right for Mr. Cool, and as a rant against the deficiencies of online dating apps. After the prizes had been presented, I managed to get a few words with Jess and started by reminding her that she'd just won the first prize.
I have, Richard.
Yeah.
And you don't mind me saying, so you're not that old, are you?
I'm 25.
Yes,
yeah.
I thought so. So you've got a whole life of poetry writing ahead of you, presumably.
Oh, I hope so. Mm. I'd love that. I'd love that. As long as it keeps me in pints and packets of crisps, yes, that made me very happy, yeah.
I know the feeling. When did you first start writing?
I think I first started writing maybe 5 years ago, but I liked poetry for a long time, mainly from rap battles and Don't Flop and sort of grime artists online. And I just thought they were brilliant, and I loved the sort of showmanship and the comedy in it. And I just started writing for attention, really, you know, like attention and jokes. And yeah, sort of spiralled after that.
Yeah, so your works found a wider audience.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
So this is presumably the first time you've been in for the competition, is it?
Yeah, first time. A mate of mine gave me the flyer, and I just applied and saw what happened.
And you've come out the winner, so that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I'm over the moon. I run this poetry night called the Bobaline Poets, and we are a not-for-profit poetry night, and we always raise money for refugee-related charities. We've done Syrian Crisis Appeal, Doctors Without Borders. We've done some period poverty charities as well. And just to have this, you know, the prize money is amazing because it means that we can do these nights, you know, we can do make them bigger and better. Mm. And that's really exciting. That's all you could ask for, really, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah. And are these regular nights? Or
they tend to be every 3 months. So the next one's on the 22nd of February at the Hope and Ruin. So anyone listening to this, come along on the 22nd of February. It's going to be amazing.
So that's the 22nd of February at the Hope and Ruin.
Hope
it?
And Ruin, yeah.
Now, the poem you read today, your winning poem, what inspired you to write it?
As a single person in the 21st century, I've been on numerous Tinder dates. That always provides a great source of anecdote if they're terrible, which is brilliant. And so it was just basically about the blokes on Tinder and the sort of hilarity of dating in the 21st century on all these apps, and it's quite good fun. Yeah.
Right. So for the benefit of older listeners like me who probably haven't heard of Tinder, that's a dating website, is it?
Yes, yeah, it's a dating app, yeah.
Right, okay. Yes, I even got the terminology wrong, you see. See how
it's all right, it's all right, man, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much for talking to me, and wish you every success in the future.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard. And
with this sort of start, I should think you'd probably go on to be something quite big in the field of poetry.
I can only hope so, man. I mean, that would be insane and amazing, but yeah, I hope so.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, thanks.
Jess Butcher, whose poem Swipe Right for Mr. Cool won this year's Brighton and Hove Arts Council poetry competition. Now, as I said earlier, in a short feature like this, I haven't been able to play all the winning poems, but you can find them all on the Brighton and Hove Arts Council's website, which is at www.bh-arts.org.uk. That's www.bh-arts.org.uk. I'm going to finish this feature with a poem that was quite different to all the others in this poetry competition final. All the other poems had covered serious topics, but this was a humorous poem and somewhat self-deprecating. It actually came fifth in the competition. It was called Rock Chick Rant and was written by Sylvia Daly, another one of the older competitors. I managed to speak to Sylvia, and as I'd done with the others, I began by asking her for how long she'd been writing poetry.
I'd say for about 7 or 8 years, but I'm very sporadic. I'm also very lazy because I need something to spur me on to do it. And at present, I don't belong to a poetry group which would stimulate me.
So it's something that you've taken up in later life then, right?
Yes. Actually, I like writing songs.
So what gave you the idea for this particular poem?
I saw someone on TV, a rock chick. I think it was on A Midsummer Murder. And I believe it was Susie Quattro that did it. And she came on stage stomping around, and actually she got killed on stage, but
yes.
Because it was A Midsummer Murder, everybody sort of gradually gets knocked off. But that was the stimulus for it.
So that was the inspiration for that poem. What other sort of ideas inspire you, inspired you in the past?
If I feel passionately about something, I went on the demonstration about trying to prevent the Iraq War, and I wrote a poem about that, and other matters, that if I feel passionately about something, I can sit down and produce a poem, and it will condense what I feel.
Right. Have you ever had anything published?
I used to belong to a local poetry group when I lived in Thanet. And there was a group in Broadstairs, and they produced a little book. But apart from that, no. And
right.
I was absolutely gobsmacked when I actually reached the sort of run-up
yes.
to this.
So is this the first time you've been in for this competition?
Yes. I've only lived in Brighton for 2.5 years.
Right.
And I don't usually do competitions, but I just saw it and it appealed to me.
Mm. And this was a humorous poem, the Rock Chick Rant. Do your poems tend to be humorous? Or?
Some of them. Some of them. I've written, and also songs I've written that can be quite humorous. But the humour has a sort of acidity.
Yes.
It's got an edge to it. It isn't comfortable
no.
humour.
Mm. It's satirical to a certain extent.
Yes. And ironic. Really.
I must say your poem made quite a nice change on Sunday. There are so many really serious poems going on. Yours
I know.
Provided a bit of light relief.
I know, I felt it with the audience, actually, that they sort of relaxed a bit when it started.
Yes.
And they appreciated the break from possibly some of the more serious content.
Yes. Well, congratulations on being a prize winner in the contest.
Oh, thank you. I'm actually thrilled to bits.
Are you likely to go in for it again, do you think?
Yes, I will have another go. Or death, definitely.
Yeah. Mm. Because it's once every 2 years, I gather.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You've got plenty of time to
find work my way up to
find
the
a
next
really good poem.
To the next one.
Yes. Now, for various reasons, I didn't get a particularly good recording of your poem on Sunday when you read it at the festival, so I wonder if I could ask you to read it again.
Okay, here goes. It's called A Rock Chick Rant. I wanna be a rock chick and stomp around the stage, shake my head from left to right and express my stifled rage. I wanna crack my psyche, erupt with gravel voice, make everybody listen while I decide the choice. I want to strut my feathers and screw my face up tight, voicing all my angst, just spoiling for a fight. Do you think that I can do it? Have I left it all too late? After all, I draw a pension and I'm living off the state. But that isn't going to stop me. I waited far too long to express my hidden issues in a savage rock chick song. So beware who comes to listen, I won't be told to hush. All those years of swallowed feelings will be coming in a rush. I'm gonna be a rock chick and stomp around the stage. To hell with all convention. Here comes my stifled rage.
That's great. Sylvia, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Sylvia Daly reading her poem Rock Chick Rant, which was one of the winners in the recent poetry competition run by the Brighton and Hove Arts Council. And once more, I'd like to congratulate all the winners. If you want to hear the winning poems, and indeed find out more about the winners, you can do so on Brighton and Hove Arts Council's website, which is at www.bh-arts.org.uk. That's www.bh-arts.org.uk. And, by the way, we'd like to extend our sincere thanks to the technical staff at the Old Market for their assistance with recording the competition. Now, with me in the studio today is Adam Buckingham, who's come in to talk about a scheme with which he's involved, known as the Real Junk Food Project. I don't know about anybody else, but to me the term junk food makes me think of hamburgers and pie and chips and all sorts of fast food that's not very good for you. But I gather, Adam, that in the case of your project, it means something entirely different.
It does, yeah. We're kind of referring to junk as a waste product or something that's surplus. So this is something that's disregarded by supermarkets, restaurants, wholesalers, food banks, that maybe they can no longer sell, but is still edible. So it's, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, which yes. In our case is the ability to feed people with perfectly edible food that's been discarded.
Yes, quite often the best before date on a piece of food is set very much earlier than it needs to be, and the food is still perfectly usable after that.
It is, yeah. There's quite a lot of confusion around dates on packets. So the use-by date is the only one that we really have to adhere to, whereas the best before, sell-by and expiry, they don't really have a measure of the quality of the food. So right. we can push that a little bit and kind of trust our senses with the food as opposed to trusting a date on a packet.
Was this scheme your idea?
Not my idea. I can only take credit for setting up a junk food project in Brighton with the help of hundreds of volunteers. You know, different people have come in with different skill sets to help us along the way. We are a predominantly volunteer-led organisation. We only have two full-time staff and one part-time driver at the moment. The initial idea was created by a chap called Adam Smith in Leeds.
Another Adam.
Yes, another Adam, which has caused quite some confusion.
How long has it been running for?
The whole project has been running for about 6 years, but we've been running in Brighton for just about five.
And where do you get your supplies from?
Anywhere is the answer to that question. But our main supplies are Lidl, Morrison's, M&S, Co-op, Sainsbury's, and through Fair Share and Neighbourly and kind of other organisations. Most food banks in Brighton donate us food.
You're different from a food bank in that you actually cook and serve the food, don't you, rather than just giving people tins of things.
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean, so quite often food banks are means tested, so you have to kind of prove that you're in need. Whereas we're not there just for the needy or for, you know, vulnerable people. We are there for everyone because we believe everyone should have access to healthy, nutritious food. We have numerous pop-up cafes around Brighton where we turn the food into delicious, healthy, hot meals. But we also have a pop-up shop as well up in Bevendine that we call The Hub, where anything that we can't use in the cafes or we can't, if we've got a big glut of something, we can put it out on the shelves and people can come and pay as they feel for a bag of shopping. We're trying to say to everyone, like, come and be a part of this environmental movement. It doesn't matter what part of the economic spectrum you're on, you know, whether you're rich or poor, this food would be thrown away. So you're actually doing us a favour by being a part of it, and being a part of that education process, learning why food's wasted, learning how much food's wasted, learning what you can do with it, and actually supporting a grassroots movement organisation like ours.
So how come there's so much food that's going to waste?
It's a very good question. I'm still learning. I still get my eyes opened to new reasons, almost on a weekly basis. I would say confusion around dates on packets. What we're trying to encourage people to do is to trust their senses, open up the packet, have a look at it, smell it. We've evolved quite well to know whether food is going to be damaging for us. Our senses can tell us that. If it's crawling off the plate, maybe don't touch it. But if there's a little bit of mould on some cheese, maybe cut that off. I guess as well, over-ordering. So if there's suddenly too much of a product that they can't get rid of quickly enough, and it's becoming close dated. Things down to split packages or dented tins, and that goes from kind of supermarket level all the way up to warehouse level. That if a packet is split, say of a 25 kilo pack, sack of quinoa, that can no longer be sold. But even though the person will immediately seal it back up with gaffer tape, it's going to be wasted. And that's again, if you've got a pallet ready to go onto an Arctic lorry and something gets split on it, they'll waste the whole pallet.
Oh, right.
As opposed to undoing it all, repackaging it all, taking that split one off, because it's time constraints, and I guess time is money. Again, similarly, with online orders, if you're not in when someone's trying to deliver your food for the week, that doesn't get put back into the system. That normally gets wasted. There's various reasons.
Do you serve food every day? Or?
Not every day. So Mondays, we're normally sorting the food out from the weekends. But on Tuesdays, we're at St. Luke's Church on Prestonville, on Old Jerome Road. Wednesdays, we're at the same church, but we're also at St. John's in Kemptown. So there's two cafes running on Wednesdays. Thursdays, we're at Hollandine Community Centre. And Friday, we're at one church, just opposite St. Peter's. And then the hub runs Monday to Friday. So we're always sorting food out. We've always got food coming in. And then we kind of distribute it out to the relevant pop-ups.
And do you provide several meals a day, or is it just one?
So at the moment, we are just running lunch services. But we are crowdfunding at the moment for help with the setup and startup costs for the old Infinity Kitchen on Gardiner Street. So we're looking to open that up starting Wednesday to Saturdays. And we would be looking to do, again, the lunch service, but then be doing kind of ticketed events, like pop-up events in the evenings as well. We're just in the process at the moment of trying to crowdfund for that. So please check us out on Crowdfunder. It's Junk Food Cafe. All donations are welcome because we're trying to hit a £25,000 target at the moment. But yeah, the kind of main goal of that place would be to have a central location that we can say is ours, that is public facing. It's a beautiful space. And rather than having the logistical nightmare that we currently have, which is taking all of our equipment with us, all of the food with us to each cafe for a few hours and then moving it all back, which is pretty arduous sometimes, you know, forgetting things that you need. And so actually having somewhere where we could operate, plan, people can rely on us being there Wednesday to Saturday. It'll be a big game changer for us. That's what we've been trying to work for the last 5 years.
Do you actually charge for the customers who come in?
We don't. We don't. It's pay as you feel. And the whole concept behind pay as you feel is that not everybody is flush. Not everybody has spare money. But we believe everyone should have access to healthy food. So pay as you feel values the individual. It makes the individual feel like they're a part of what we're doing as an environmental organisation. So we accept donations in kind. People can come and volunteer with us. They can help us sweeping the floors at the end of the day. So that could be an exchange for the food, is helping us with a skill, helping us with an idea, or if you can, chuck a few quid in the bucket. Mm. But what that does is make everyone feel a part of this movement, and I think actually adding value to people and purpose and making them feel valued and respected is a really important part of what we do. It's a bit of an injustice that we're living in a society at the moment where we're not looking after everyone. I guess we're trying to level that playing field. We're trying to really help as many people as we can, regardless of what situation you're in. You might be socially isolated, you might be, you know, having problems with addiction, you might be struggling with debt, you might be a single carer, you know, there's various reasons. And we've seen the effect of our organisation help many people.
And anybody can come along, can they?
They can, yes. The more the merrier, really. We're constantly trying to reiterate that message that we are here for everyone. It doesn't, you know, we hear some people say, oh, I don't want to come and take the food because I'm quite well off and I don't want to take it away from somebody that needs it, which is missing the point. This food would have been thrown away. So if you're a human being and you need to eat food, which last time I checked, that was pretty much everyone, come and get involved. Likewise, people who maybe are quite vulnerable or are struggling financially, they don't like to feel like they're taking away from us, or, you know, they don't feel they're needy enough. We need to do away with all those stigmas. That's not what we're about. We are an environmental organisation trying to tackle food waste head on in Brighton. So, yeah, everyone is welcome.
Now, we're just coming up to the Christmas period. Have you got anything special planned for over that period?
We have, yeah. We are planning a Christmas Day, Christmas lunch at One Church, Gloucester Place. We did this a few years ago, and there was a fantastic response from the community. We are all workaholics. We love what we're doing. We love saving food. We love feeding people with it. It's a very simple model. And obviously, Christmas, social isolation goes up. Maybe people don't have family friends around, or everyone goes away to their families and all of a sudden people are left on their own. So in response to that, we've decided to run a Christmas lunch. Again, doors are open. Anyone's welcome. It's a pay-as-you-fill affair, just like all of our other cafes. And we're hoping that we can bring the community together of Brighton and all enjoy a delicious meal.
So that's on Christmas Day and at One Church.
Yes.
Which is the old Baptist church in Gloucester Place, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct, yes.
Next door to the, what was the Astoria Cinema, but was just been demolished.
Yes, flattened and yes, resurrected into... re-erected.
And what time will you be opening the doors?
Our doors open at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And then we'll start bringing all the food out.
Thanks very much, Adam. If people want to get in touch with you to find out more, to see how they can help, how can they go about that?
If you go to our website, which is realjunkfoodbrighton.co.uk.
And that's all one word, is it? Real Junk Food Brighton?
It is, yes. Or our Facebook page. There's a volunteer at address. So if you want to come and volunteer with us, you want to come and get involved that way, click that link and a chap called Paul Lohman will respond to you, get us signed and get you signed up to our sign-up list. You can choose a shift that works for you. If you want to donate, there's a donate button. Again, we've got a crowdfunding going at the moment, so all donations are welcome to try and make that dream a reality. We've got an events page as well. If you want us to come and cater for your wedding or conference, whatever that might be, birthday party, we can sort that out as well. And there's also an info at address for all other queries.
If people don't have access to the internet, is there a phone number they can contact you on?
There isn't a phone number, but if you come up to the hub in Bevendean, which is 13 Leybourne Parade, we're there 10 till 5 every single day. So just pop in, we can help you.
Okay, Adam, thanks very much, and keep on with the good work.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like a very worthwhile project.
Yes, thank you so much.
I was talking to Adam Buckingham about the Real Junk Food project, which he's running. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to their website, which is realjunkfoodbrighton, typed all as one word, .co.uk. That's realjunkfoodbrighton.co.uk. If you haven't got internet access, you can go to the premises they describe as the hub, which is in Bevendean at 13 Leybourne Parade. And Adam tells me that they're there every day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'm not sure whether that includes weekends as well, but it certainly refers to weekdays. Now, the National Lottery has been going for 25 years. I didn't realise it was as long as that. To mark their 25th anniversary, they're introducing a £2 million fund to boost community spirit across the UK. The fund offers anyone with a great idea to bring their community together the chance to apply for a grant of up to £1,000. However, we've only just heard about this, and the closing date is on Friday, December the 6th, so you have to get your application in very quickly. To find out more, Chris English spoke on the telephone to Elda Decker from the National Lottery and asked her what was going on.
We're in the midst of a programme of activities and events to celebrate the 25th birthday of the National Lottery. So the first draw of the National Lottery happened on the 19th of November 1994. And since then, we've raised £40 billion for activities and projects in the arts, sport, heritage and community all across the country. So obviously we want to mark all of this good work, we want to celebrate it, and we also want to thank all the players of the National Lottery who have made all of this possible. So we've opened a special fund, the Celebrate National Lottery 25 Fund. It's a special fund of £2 million that we hope will give many more opportunities to people to get involved and do something special in their community.
And how can they do that? How can they apply individually or
absolutely,
as a group?
Absolutely. All the information is on our website, Celebrate National Lottery 25. And people can get together. They can just sort of form a club or just do it as two people together, organisations. And they can go on the online and find all the information on our website. It's a very easy online application process. And everybody can apply for up to £1,000 to do something that they think will make a real difference in their community.
And what sort of ideas are you looking for, or are you open to anything?
Yeah, we just really want people to be very creative and do something that they think will make a difference. And whether it's organising a party in the street to get people out together, whether it's about getting a tea together for older people who might feel a little bit isolated, whether it's about organising activity for young people so that they get to experience something that they might not normally get to experience. We're really looking for people to be creative, to think what they think will make a difference in their local community.
Now, normally we hear stories that it takes months and months and months to put together a lottery application. Is that the case?
No, absolutely not. We've really tried to make it as easy as possible. The application process is completely online. It should take nobody more than 15 minutes to apply. So it's a very, very easy process. And we will do our absolute best to get back to people as soon as possible. And ideally, by the end of January, people should know whether they've been successful or not. So we've really tried to make it as easy as possible so that as many people as possible can get involved.
Are there any restrictions? I mean, can groups apply, or is it individuals, or how does it work?
Yeah, so two people together can already apply. So it's difficult for us to fund just the one person, but two people who want to get together, they can apply. And then any club, any community organisation, charities, schools, the many different organisations. We really try to be as flexible as possible. And also in terms of the type of activity, as I said, we're really looking for people to be creative, to really sort of think what they think will make a difference and bring the community together.
So why is the National Lottery doing this special one? I mean, you're in business for handing out grants anyway, so why
Absolutely.
Is this one special?
Well, because it's the 25th birthday of the National Lottery, and I do think, and we believe strongly, that it's worth celebrating that and marking how much good work has been done thanks to the National Lottery, and then specifically the players of the National Lottery. So it's just a special occasion that we think needs to be celebrated, and we just want to give as many people as possible the opportunity to get involved. And we think that this fund, because of the way that it's set up, will really enable people to get involved.
Now, while £2 million is undoubtedly a huge amount of money for most people, presumably you're going to divide this down, aren't you? People won't get £2 million.
No. So people can apply for anything up to £1,000. So, you know, again, we want this funding to really benefit communities up and down the country. And we believe that with £1,000 and a bit of goodwill and a bit of creativity, there's a lot of things that can already happen. And then obviously we still have we run our ongoing programs. So people who get involved and, you know, get to see how excited how exciting it can be to get involved in the community. They can then also then get back in touch with us if there's more money that they need to continue. But this particular fund really is an opportunity to get many more people involved to really mark the birthday of the National Lottery.
That's wonderful. And the website again?
It's CelebrateNationalLottery25.com, and all the information is on the website and the application process as well. And really, it's a very easy process, so I'd really urge as many people as possible to get involved.
Chris English was talking to Elder Decker of the National Lottery about their special £2 million fund that they're making available to celebrate their 25th anniversary. Anybody can apply for a grant of up to £1,000 for a community project, and the application process is very simple. You can do it all via their website, which is at CelebrateNationalLottery25, and that's typed all as one word. I'll say it again, CelebrateNationalLottery25.com. And the 25 there is typed as the figures 2-5 rather than as words. But you'll have to be fairly quick getting your application in, because applications close on Friday, December the 6th. Unfortunately, we didn't hear about this until very late in the day. And that brings our programme to a close for this time. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not-so-old. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time, and that will be our special Christmas edition, which Chris English and I will co-present, and which will feature music from the Brighton Soul of the City Choir. Until then, it only remains for me, Richard Davis, to thank everyone who's taken part, once again to thank you for listening, and to wish you, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme for Radio Reverb, all the very best until we meet again. Goodbye.